when I was in my class alone, I loved it because I would just do my own thing. I had nobody there to judge me. I would shout because in the other classes that I was at, I would get judged for every little thing because those kids, for some reason, had something to pick to me about. So I would just literally go into class, turn on my computer, I would just play games for the whole period and just go home. But when they put me in the normal classes, it really started to affect me because they would have spelling bees in elementary school, and it was such an embarrassment because the teacher would just look up and she would be like, spell basketball, and she'd be like, oh, spell cat, and it's a three-letter word, but as much as I try to like memorize the word, it's just like C-A-B, be like wrong, and then I would be like, and the kids would be like, and I'd be like so embarrassed because it's just such an easy word. How am I getting it wrong? And I look so embarrassing in front of all these kids.
Welcome to the Monarch Experience Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Ancona, and here at the Monarch Experience Podcast, we are all about giving students the platform to be able to voice their opinions about what matters most to them. And today, we've got something really cool. I'm chatting with former student Abdallah, and we're talking about Abdallah's experience in the ESL program. We're talking about Abdallah's experience as an English learning student. We're talking about his experience as he came from Egypt to the U.S. at a young age and all of the obstacles that he faced, both language-wise, learning-wise, cultural. We're talking about some of the biggest challenges he faced learning the English language. It is not an easy language. We're going to talk about so many things that are specific to his story, but also I think are really applicable for many students or many people that have come over from another country to the U.S. and are navigating learning the customs, the cultures, the learning environment, and of course, the language. Before we jump into this episode, make sure that you're following us on Snapchat. That's how Abdallah reached out to me. So for former students, that's really kind of the beauty of this is Snapchat at the Monarch Experience Podcast is not just an opportunity for me to post new episodes, interact with current students about episode topics. It also gives me an opportunity to interact with former students. And this was one where Abdallah reached out to me and just simply said, hey, I don't know if you remember me. Of course I remember you. And I wanted to see if I could do an episode of the podcast. And we chatted back and forth for a little bit. And we came up with this idea of, you know, Abdallah, you've got a really unique experience as an ESL student. Why don't we do it on that? And lo and behold, here we are. So Snapchat's an awesome, awesome tool for us to keep in touch as some of our eighth graders, well, all of our eighth graders, not just some, are graduating and going on to bigger and better things within the upcoming month. Also, you can follow us on TikTok at MonarchXP. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at TheMonarchXP. All right, today we've got Abdallah. Abdallah is a former student of mine from 2000 and holy cow, a long time ago, 2019. Yeah.
I didn't think we did that. I mean, I didn't think I was that good of a student when I was in middle school.
See, but yeah, it's interesting. Like, I don't look at it like that. Like, were you a good student? Like, that's honestly nothing. Like, once you graduate, it's kind of not even a thought that I have in my head where I'm thinking, like, are you a good student? It's more of like, you know, are you a good person? Are you a good human? Are you, do you, you know, ask you questions? Like, are you an advocate for yourself? Like, those are the kind of things. And I think, like, you had all those things, man. Like, you're a good human.
I didn't see it because the stuff I remember when I did in middle school was just awful.
You're not supposed to see it. You're a teenager. That's kind of the joy of it is all that. So, talk to our audience. Where are you currently right now? What high school? And because you're getting ready to graduate. Yeah. And what are some of the major differences between the high school that you're at right now and your experience at Memorial?
So my name is Abdallah Duidar. So I used to go to Marble Memorial Middle School. So yeah, I go to Colts Neck High School right now. And the differences are big. It's ranging from the type of classes you have to the type of people that you can meet to the type of teachers you have to deal with on a daily basis, and more of the freedom that you have more, because in high school you're able to pick more of different teachers than middle school. You're kind of just like with one teacher, because they usually have just one teacher for each subject. In high school, they kind of vary a little bit more. Same thing with the subjects. Another thing that was interesting was the schedules, because the schedules for most other high schools around the state is they have an 8-period schedule. And for us, it's a 5-period schedule, and it gets rotated every day. It moves.
You've obviously experienced a couple of different schedules then. You know, Memorial, we have letter days, but the only thing that really rotates is your related arts.
Yeah.
Do you like that? I'm assuming it took some time getting used to.
It's definitely a lot better, in my opinion.
How come?
Way better than same class every day. For me...
At the same time, too, right?
Yeah, at the same time. And it doesn't really matter about the time. It's more of, like, when you get to see that class. Because every day you're not feeling a certain subject. Every day I don't feel like math. Every day I don't feel like English. Every day I don't feel like tech design. Every day I don't feel like art. So when it cancels some of those classes out for you, you get a day of, like, oh, okay, thank God I don't have this class. I get the rest up for this day. And it's really good for the students. I think so. And it gives you a longer classes too. So in the other classes, those classes are cut down even shorter. But with these classes, they're longer. They're like, what, 64 minutes? I think in the other schools are like 48 minutes or something like that.
No, 64 minutes. That 64 minutes is a long time. You probably feel that.
I think it's probably more. I'm pretty sure, because it's from 8 to 3. I think it's a little bit more. But yeah, you get more time in the class for you to learn. So if there's 30 kids in the class, a teacher's not going to have enough time to teach all 30 kids in like 40 minutes, 50 minutes. But when you have like 65 minutes, you can teach reasonably well to 30 kids.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah. And the thing is, it's not only for that high school. It's for this whole region around us.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just
not Marlboro High School is on that schedule, too.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. You know, what's kind of cool about that is I really liked what you said about the idea that it's – you get, like, a refresher or, like, the mental break from seeing a class.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for, like, one day, I feel like that can do a lot where you're – you know, if you're seeing – if you hate a class – right, you know what that's like. You hate a class. You hate a subject. You hate a teacher even, and you're seeing them every day. Like, you dread it. But just that one day, that could really...
It eases people a lot in that school, because I see people that just go to me and they're like, oh, thank God I don't have that teacher today. And I just see like them, like, relief, just instant relief. And people have tests that day. Mm. And, like, usually with, like, an 8 schedule, they usually have more than one test going on that day, but with like less classes means less tests throughout the day.
Gotcha.
So if you get packed with like 2 tests in a day, you're just unlucky. But usually it's just one test a day type thing.
That's ideal for sure. So I know a lot of where this conversation is going to kind of to navigate or stay within is going to be your experience coming to America. Right? You were not born in the U.S.
No.
Okay. Where were you born?
Egypt.
Okay, so when did you move from Egypt to the U.S., and what was your family's motivation to come over?
So I moved to Egypt in my fourth grade year. I moved here my fourth grade year. I think I'm younger than the kids in fourth grade.
So you were probably 8 years old then?
Seven.
Younger?
Okay. 7, 8, because I have a late birthday, so
okay,
7, I'm pretty sure, yeah, 7. So we came here because all my siblings were still haven't gone to college yet, and the way that Egyptians can come to Egypt is by just applying, and it's very, very rare for Egyptians to come to America, like out of just Middle Eastern and like places that have large poverty rates. So thank God my dad was a doctor and he used to work in like Saudi Arabia, so he was doing substantially well and he had a good reputation of himself.
Okay.
So she just shot a shot and he said, let's go apply. And if we get accepted, we get accepted. If we don't, we don't. We got accepted. Thank God. We came here. We settled down and we lived with my aunt for a couple of years. But it turns out my family did not like living here. My dad really? Did not like it. My mom did not like it here. My siblings did not like it here. But the only reason they stayed is because an American degree can get you work anywhere around the world. It can get you, like, American degree, if you take an American degree and go to Dubai, you can get paid in dollars and you wouldn't be making so much more than your colleagues just because it's an American degree.
Interesting. That's so interesting. Yeah. So they didn't like it when they first came here. You were the youngest?
I'm the youngest, yeah.
What was your experience coming over? Like, did you like it? Were you? I'm sure there was an adjustment period. But like, take me back to fourth grade, Abdallah. What was that like?
First year here, I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it at all because every year we would go back and I would see my family members and my relatives. I didn't really have much friends in Egypt. I was just really close with my family back there.
Okay.
So fourth grade year. Starting it out, it was fine. It just I had really, really bad teachers for ESL and for just coming here. It was just a total disaster for me. I got bullied. I got bullied my first year here. It was not fun at all. I hated it.
Was it the language barrier?
The language. Kids would go make stuff up about me. Like, kids would go say that I cursed, and then they would go tell the teacher, and the teacher would believe them because I can't defend myself, so I would just get in trouble, and kids would just pick on me, and I did not like it at all, and I had to transfer school, and that's when I went to Marlboro Elementary School. And then from there, I went to Memorial. I was going to go to the old middle school, but those kids were gonna be there.
Oh,
so I had to go to that one.
That's a good move, though.
Yeah, I had to avoid them. I hated them so much. Like, sometimes I see them and I just try to avoid them.
I hope you haven't run into them since. First of all, that sucks. Obviously, that's a terrible experience, especially coming over and not knowing the language. Did you have any previous experience with the English language at all when you were in Egypt, or were you coming in cold turkey?
I had this tutor, actually. My dad had this tutor. He was, I think he was British or Australian, and he was in Egypt. I don't know why he was in Egypt, and he was an artist too. I don't know why.
That sounds very eclectic. Yeah.
So my dad would tutor all of us, and he would like sit all of us down, and he would tutor us as a group. All my siblings, all five of us, all five of us. And I mean, I didn't learn anything, but my sisters did. And
because your family had no experience with English either, then I'm guessing.
No, like very, very little. It's only my dad, and my dad only had experience with English because of the business meetings that he had to go to different countries.
So let's stay here for a little bit. This is, you know, we have a lot of ESL students. We have a lot of students that have exited the ESL program recently, or at least for me, I have a lot of students that have exited the ESL program recently or in the last year or so. So I'm sure some of this story of just even being picked on or coming in and feeling completely lost, I'm sure is triggering some of them when they listen to this, or is going to really open up some potential wounds. What did you do to cope with that? Because, you know, for some people listening, they hear that and they're thinking like that's a one day thing or an isolated incident. But I'm assuming just the bullying, and I'm assuming also the feeling of being kind of lost, if that's an accurate word, that probably went on daily.
I mean, for me, it was just more of like, oh, I got this class, I gotta sit next to this person. But it wasn't like the whole elementary school was mean to me. It was just like a certain group of kids that just thought it was cool. Rest of middle school was, elementary school was awesome to me. The rest of the kids, there's some kids I kind of want to reach out to and like, see how they're doing, but I have such a bad memory, I can't even remember their name.
Talk to me about some of those good experiences, like where you felt, what was like an experience where maybe in elementary school where you felt like for the first time, like, yeah, like I could do this, or like I belong, like this could be a success for me.
I mean, it's just like every day I would just do my own thing. I didn't really like, there wasn't like really a day that I had to. I hated going to school. It's just, period. I just didn't like going to school. But more of like, my parents did not do all of this for me just to come to this country, and like all the risks they put in, it's just motivation for me to do this. And it's not really about like the what I'm going through. It's more about what is going to happen in the future. Yeah, I'm going to hate this right now. Yeah, this is a tough time right now, but in the future, it'll all be easier for me. Like right now in this high school, I'm having a lot of problems with the kids in my school, the teachers and stuff like that. But I only got 2 months left and I'm out of the school, so I can't complain, you know?
You have a really good head on your shoulders, man. Like, that's a very mature perspective to take. And obviously, I'm hearing you say that now. Did you feel like you had that did you feel like you had that perspective back in elementary school, too?
Definitely not. It's more of, like, back then, it's just, like, I was really into games. Like, I would, in middle school, I used to talk every day about GTA. It was, I'm such a nerd about that game. I don't know why. I just love it.
What's your favorite GTA game?
GTA 5. Okay. GTA 5. I play it every, I used to play it every day as a kid, but it's just, my parents would, like, do, like, they know I didn't like the school. So they would do me a deal. They'd be like, okay, every day after school, you can play this game. And that just automatically, like, I can't wait to go home. Like, it would, like, dealing with the kids at school wasn't a problem anymore because of how excited I was going home to play those games. So it just automatically canceled that fear out for me. The only thing that I just did not like about my experience in middle elementary school was I was a very, very, very hands-on kid and a very touchy kid. So I got in so much trouble because I was physical. I was too physical. So I would push kids around. I would hit them. I would do stuff with like that. Because it's very normal in Egypt. Physical touch is normal with children in Egypt.
How so?
So here, like in Egypt, you could like smack somebody on the side of the shoulder and be like, oh, you're fine, or you're good, or like just play like gameplay. It's fine.
Yeah.
In Egypt, that's completely fine. Here, they look at it as like, oh no, like you can't do that, especially with younger kids. Younger kids, yeah. It's like such a big fear. But when you're older and you get the understanding with more of friends, it's more understanding. But with kids, it's a lot more risky because you don't know what kids could do. Like there was some kids that in elementary school I was good with, and I would just like one wrong tap or one thing I say wrong, and it's just like friendship is gone. So it was just, yeah, it was just like that.
I think that's, I mean, I'm sure there's many cultural differences, and that's just one of them that like I would never even think to even ask you about. That's so interesting because for little kids, we're always saying hands to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, and as you're saying that, I'm thinking about my own two kids, and I'm like, yeah, that's literally all I feel like I tell them as, like, when they were 1 and 2 years old, it's hands to yourself, hands to yourself, hands to yourself. And
it builds a tolerance. It builds, yeah. For me, it built a bad tolerance because now it's like, if you really get in a situation in real life that is forcing you to touch someone, it limits you because you're like, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to do this. You're scared.
Even but just to show affection and put your arm around someone you care about, you're almost second-guessing yourself.
Yeah. So wow. It's just, it has its own positives and negatives, but recently it's been like really negative. So it's just a barrier that you just have to cross later on in life, I guess.
Talk to me about some of these other cultural barrier or cultural differences like that, like with the physical touch. What are some other ones that maybe were jarring for you to kind of navigate?
Definitely not eating pork. There was a lot of parties that would go on in the elementary school, like kids' birthday parties and the lunchroom. Mm-hmm. And I would ask, I'd be like, oh, is this pork or whatever? And the teachers would not care. They'd be like, yeah, it's not pork. And I'll just eat it. And I would just notice because the taste would be different as a kid. And it was just that. And most people did not understand that as a kid either. They would be like, oh, you can't eat pork? It's really that big of a thing. It's like, oh, what happens? And like they start judging your religion and be like, oh, okay, well, didn't you do this? And it's like, it plays a whole big thing into it too. But
that's interesting, yeah. Because I feel like the pork thing, I mean, I moved to Jersey in seventh grade, and my close circle of friends mainly are Jewish, and a lot of them keep kosher, so they never eat pork. So I guess for me, it's interesting because, like, I just kind of grew up understanding or knowing that, like, other people didn't eat pork because of religious differences. So talk to me about any other major cultural differences that were hard for you to – were just an adjustment, if any come to your mind.
The weather. Oh, the weather. Yeah? Big one. The weather was a big one for me. Seeing snow for the first time really affected me. I felt so happy. Oh,
I can't even imagine what seeing snow for the first time.
It's like, because like in Egypt.
I'm so used to it.
Yeah, it's like kids in Egypt, they dream about seeing snow. Like, you don't understand, kids there, they've never seen snow in their whole life. Parents, the kids have never seen snow. It's just more of like a Disney Wonderland kind of thing. So seeing snow for the first time is just like, I was just so excited. That's why I love going out when there's snow. It's just like something I never had then. Ever since, I just kind of enjoyed it a little bit more than anyone.
What's the weather in Egypt like? I feel like I know the answer to this.
It's hot every day. Yeah. It's every day hot. And if it's not hot, it's cold, it's dry. Like if you can, like people over there too, because religious reasons, women have to dress up, fully dress up. They just can only show their face, and sometimes they don't feel like showing off their face, so they wear like something over their face.
Sure. But
they wear that, and the weather over there is scorching hot every day, and people have low tolerance because of the weather, because of the prices now, everything, and everybody is just trying to move on. So over there, it's just more of like everything is just tight, and it's hot. Really hot over there, so it just makes it even worse for everyone. So like your best friend in Egypt is the AC, because on the summer it gets super hot. Like I went to Egypt 2 years ago, and I tried to sleep without the AC so I can just, you know, don't use it as much, like let it rest a little bit.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. I couldn't.
Do you think you could see yourself moving out of this geographic location where we get you know a legit four seasons, or are you good with snow?
I'm good with snow. It's just the weather in New Jersey is just really inconvenient for everyone. Like
it's the best.
Like
way to
if it rains, it rains for like 6 days. If it doesn't rain, it rains for like 7 days. Like it's so inconsistent.
I liked your word. That's perfect. It's inconvenient for everyone. So aside from the pork aspect, right, and that's for religious reasons, and I think that's a little different than this question. But were there any foods that you found weird or just? Like you were very, that took you a while maybe to even try? Or any foods that you never had that you were first exposed to and you were like, oh my goodness, I need
sushi.
More of this. Yeah?
Sushi was definitely a first hand. Ramen. I loved ramen. The first time I had ramen, I went crazy over ramen. And the ice cream here is so much smoother paced. Like, ice cream here is my favorite thing to eat. Because it's just so much different in Egypt. Because in Egypt, you can taste like the heavy cream that is left in it, and it does like a little paste on your leaves a layer on your mouth, and it's nasty. I don't like it here. It's just the products here are just so much smoother. Everything is so much nicer. The only thing that I just don't like here is just. The creativity on food is just kind of boring. I'm not, it's just every like over there in Egypt, the food is there is poverty based. So the food over there is cheap because it's just made out of cheap stuff. But the way they season it, the way they do it is just phenomenal. I don't know how. So that's just the only difference.
What's your favorite Egyptian? I've never had Egyptian food. What is your favorite Egyptian food, and what would be a food that would be a good gateway food for someone like me who's never had Egyptian food?
My favorite food to eat is definitely kosheri.
What's that?
Kosher, So it's different types of pasta.
Okay.
It's rice. It's pasta. It's like, I don't know what's it called. It's like little beans, and it's tomato sauce on top of it, and it's hot sauce. It's crushed. No, not crushed. It's fried onions, and it's on top, and it's just like a big bowl of pasta, basically. It's so good. Like, it's garlic juice on it too, and stuff. It's so nice. I don't know how to describe it.
You're catering to all the Italian in me right now. You're saying all the major things: pasta, garlic, and tomato sauce. This sounds no different than my culture. What else would you say is your favorite, or is like the gateway?
The dessert, and I don't know if you ever had the pickled vegetables. I don't know if you ever.
Yeah,
had
that. Yeah.
They're over there. They're so popular, and they're able to do it with a lot more. Like, I don't know how they do it over there. It's just a lot more like the saltiness is like in the mid level.
Okay.
And there's something over there called fisich. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
No, what's that?
It's basically dry aged fish, and the meat is salted, so it's more of like a dry aged steak, basically.
Which is amazing.
But you don't have to cook it. And you can just eat the flesh straight because I don't know how, but I think like the salt like takes all the bacteria out, I guess. And you can eat it with like they eat it with green onions and bread and potatoes is how it's done over there.
Pretty cool. That kind of reminds me of, we cook it, but it's like a bacala. Which is like
are good too.
It's like a white fish, and like, you know, my parents, we do it on Christmas Eve every year. We have like an Italian Christmas Eve, but you basically have to soak it in like this salt brine for like 5 or 6, 7 days, because when you get it, it's literally like a piece of wood, the fish.
Yeah.
And then the salt like pulls all the moisture back into it. Very interesting. All right.
There's a lot more desserts. It's just, I haven't had any of them in a while, so I'm kind of starting to forget them. There's another one. It's you basically take dough and you fry it, and then you fill it up with, I don't know if they fill it. No, you take dough and you fry it, and then they roast it in sugar,
so it's
and
then so it's they like a donut put, almost.
Yeah, almost a donut, and then they put like. Coconut like seasoning on it, and like they the fill shaved, it up sometimes.
Like the shaved coconut,
yeah, and they and they fill it up with coconut too. Dude, so it's a lot. Like, if you ever get the chance to go to Egypt, definitely go with someone like that has been to Egypt and is like familiar with Egypt, because if they can take you into the lower parts of Egypt,
okay,
the prices over there is so much cheaper. Like, I got food poisoning when I went, so just be careful.
you're not selling it all that. I like the disclaimer. Where in Egypt are you from?
I'm from Mansoura. Okay. So that's more of like, it's more of like, I would say like the heart of Egypt, really. Yeah. Okay. Because it's more of like the middle. It's not like the too crowded. It's not the richest. It's not the poorest. It's more of like the middle class area, kind of.
How often have you gone back since?
I've gone 2 years ago. I want to go this year. Tickets are just so expensive.
The flights?
Yeah, they're like $600, $1,000 almost for a ticket.
Know. Flights everywhere are insane right now, man. It's wild. Do you still have family that lives there?
Yeah, I'm the only – not the only. So my grandma's sister is here, and we're here, and the rest of the family is back in Egypt. So we're the only two people out of the whole family that are out of the country.
How'd you keep in touch with them when you first moved? I'm imagining as a 9-year-old who you said you didn't have too many friends, but you were super close with your family. How'd you navigate that distance? How'd you keep in touch with them? Talk to us about that.
For me, I would try to talk with them. Of course, as time went on, I didn't stay as close with them. My mom... thank God, she's super close with all her siblings from Egypt and her mother and everyone from that side. And she did a great job, because every single time she would call them, I would be there and I would just join in on the phone call and I would just get an update on what's going on in their life. But it's just more of like literally people just checking in on them, because I would sometimes call them. I would have my cousins call me. I would call my cousins sometimes. It's just more of like love for each other, basically. Mm.
That's awesome. That's great. So, okay, let's go back to kind of when you came to Marlboro Elementary School. You took your English placement test and you were placed in an ESL class. What was that experience like? Did you kind of know that you were going to be in an ESL? Were you in a separate ESL class, or were you in like a pullout class? Did you have like talk to us about what that looked like in elementary school?
Elementary school.
Yeah,
so
when you first came.
Okay, so when I first came here, they knew I was going to need ESL. But the ESL teacher that I had, she was an old ESL teacher. And okay. I guess that she had problems, like health problems. And for the rest of the year, I would show up to that class and nobody would be in that class. I would literally just show up to the class and I would just sit there alone. And I would just literally play on my Chromebook. And some teacher would just show up from time to time and be like, is there any teacher that's supposed to be in here? And I'd be like, I don't know how to speak English.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not in charge of anything.
Yeah, see some random kid just sitting in the class, and they just be like, okay. And then they have their own class to teach, so I just don't have time, so they just go teach. So I was literally just doing that for like a good 3 months. And
wow.
They were like, okay, if there's no teacher showing up and if there's no ESL showing up, we're going to put him in normal classes as a first-year student. So that destroyed me, because then I was placed in normal English. I was placed in writing and reading English. I was placed in history. I was placed in math. It was like elementary school. It was the same teacher for all the classes except math. It's the same teacher except for math. It's a different teacher that you go to, I'm pretty sure. I don't remember really too much.
And at this point, you spoke little to no English.
Little to no English. Wow. Literally the basics. How to say my name and how are you doing, and that's it.
And like, where's the bathroom?
Yeah, and that's it.
So
they put me in normal classes, and I was getting assigned books to read at home. And I'd be like, I don't know how to read this. I don't, what do you want me to do? Wow. So it was literally after school, I would stay hours after school and I would read this book with my mom, and it would be like 6 pages. It would take us like 3 hours. It destroyed me. And then it was so bad, because in elementary school they make you do spelling bees. It wasn't the best experience.
I'll be honest. I'm so sorry that you had to go through all that, especially in the beginning, which I mean, hey, what a testament to your resiliency. So at what point did you end up in like a pull out ESL class? Because I kind of want to talk there for a little bit. What point did you have a pull out ESL class, and what was that like to be kind of separated from the rest of the population?
So when I was in my class alone, I loved it, because I would just do my own thing. I had nobody there to judge me. I would shout, because in the other classes that I was at, I would get judged for every little thing, because those kids, for some reason, had something to pick to me about. Mm-hmm. And when you go to the school, they give you a Chromebook at the beginning of the day, and you have to return it at the end of the day. And kids being kids, we found sites to play games. Uh-huh. So I would just literally go into class, turn on my computer, I would just play games for the whole period, and just go home.
Right.
So I was just having the time of my life. I wasn't bothered at all. I was actually just living my life. But when they put me in the normal classes, it's really started to affect me, because they would have spelling bees in elementary school, and it was such an embarrassment, because the teacher would just look up and she would be like, spell basketball, and she'd be like, oh, spell cat, and it's a 3-letter word, but as much as I try to like memorize the word, it's just like C-A-B. Be like, wrong. And then I'd be like so embarrassed, because it's just such an easy word. How am I getting it wrong? And I look so embarrassing in front of all these kids.
Yeah.
So, and then they would make me read in front of the class too.
Okay. So you're, and this was obviously in like the general population class, right?
Yeah, it was normal classes though. I was having kids with I was having class with kids that spoke English, were able to write, were able to read. They were doing normal stuff. And I didn't even have a ed teacher.
I was going to say, was there anyone that you had with you to kind of be an advocate for you or that can help translate it all?
No. All they did was they gave me a translating book. And I'd be like, be on your way.
that obviously didn't help much, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, because in English, I didn't get the full benefit of Arabic. Arabic takes a while to...
So you didn't have any real resources, including a teacher to help you with the language as you're pushed into a general education population class where they're reading, you know, chapter books and whatnot and doing spelling with great appropriate words and obviously their way of trying to make it accessible to you is just saying, all right, how about cat?
No, it's just like they would, one time I still remember this, they grouped me up and they were having kids. One of the kids actually goes to my high school right now. And she would sit me down and with these kids and she would have everyone read and it would be a row. So it would be like, this whole row reads and then this next row. And I'd be like, I'm right here. And their kids starting are right here, and I'm right here. And I just get nervous. And as they're going down the list, finishing each paragraph, I'm just sitting there, nerve-wracking, because I'm like, okay, practicing to read the following paragraph. And I'm just sitting there, I'm not nervous, and I'm like, trying my best. But it was like barely enough time that I would be able to read the first sentence. And then she'd be like, okay, next person can finish it out for you.
Good enough. We're bad enough. Man, dude, that's a feeling, you know, for our listeners that are listening and that that have never experienced that. That is a feeling that it's just, would you say, like paralyzing, like overwhelming fear?
At the time, like, because for me, I just developed a tolerance over it to where it's like. I just need to get it over with, and after that, it doesn't matter anymore to me. Because like nobody's gonna remember it afterwards is how I think about it.
It's true.
So it would be so nerve wracking until it's done, and then all the fear would just be let off. I'd be like, thank God, I did my best. That's all that matters. I don't have to deal with it anymore. It's off my chest.
Man, you don't seem to sweat too many things, do you?
I don't like to stress a lot. I really don't. It's just because, like, it's kind of unnecessary to stress about stuff that isn't really that important. For me, I knew that my English was awful and it was just going to get better. But it's just, like, dwelling over these experiences were just not going to make my life any easier in a way. So it's just more of, like, my brother and my dad really just teaching me the way because... Most of my family is kind of like balding and somehow my father didn't. So I guess that because he didn't really stress too much either. My father, I think that's where I really got it from. So
I need some of that in my life. And that is the fun. This is like the funniest comparison of like my bald head and your enormous hair. and it's because of not stressing. So I think that tells me everything I need to know.
It makes life so much easier. It just you don't have to. I mean, you have kids, so you have to stress about them. But for me, it's just
I stress way before kids. So that's not their fault.
I mean, I'm gonna stress a lot in college. Right now, I'm just living my life. I'm not really doing. I'm going to Brookdale, but I'm not doing too well in high school, so I'm just like living my life as it is. Okay. So it's just like I'm not stressing about school, I'm not stressing about life, I'm just living my life as it is right now. But just building that tolerance of not stressing has just made it a lot easier for me over the like past couple of years.
Seems like you could overcome anything.
No, not really. Trust me, it gets to me. I'm trying to diet right now. It's getting to me. The food.
It's killing me. So your ESL class, right? At what point did you have like an ESL class with other students that English was not their first language?
That has to be my fifth grade year.
Okay.
But they still didn't do like a very good job of it either because the way that we do it, they would put me in normal classes. Like An ESL teacher is supposed to teach you every subject, maybe except for math.
Yeah.
They just had me for English, just for English.
Okay.
And then that was it. And they would put me for normal for history. They would put me in normal for math. They would put me in normal for any other subject except for English. And I just have an ESL teacher. And when I went to fifth grade, I had this really, really good teacher that my sister used to have in middle school. So when my sister left middle school, she came to my elementary school so she can give me some help and she can help me out. And the teacher, of course, and the school, of course, agreed to take her in because I was not the only ESL student. There was another kid with me. I call his name was Enosh.
Okay, where was he from?
He was from India. Okay. Yeah, I think he had autism. He was loved by everyone. His experience from me, I was jealous actually because he was loved by everyone. And in the elementary school that I used to go to, they used to have morning talks.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever heard of the Fino, the way they have like their system set up of like they have like two kids come up and then they present it like it's news.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they do the morning news of two kids. And Anish was one of the ESL kids. He was like he was on it, and everybody loved him. And I got really jealous because I didn't have that type of reaction when I was first introduced into the country.
Yeah, yeah. When you were then went to middle school, was your ESL class, did it have more students in there than just the one?
Oh yeah, definitely a lot more.
Was that a source of comfort at all, or?
So when I went to middle school, they actually made they compromised it for me actually, because I was supposed to go to the old middle school.
Okay.
But I hated the old middle school so much because I knew I was going to see all my old classmates there. Mm. So I told my mom, I'm like, I'm not going to that middle school. I'm not going to that middle school. I'm not going to that middle school. I already made friends at the new elementary school. I want to be with them at this new middle school. And she was like, fine, fine. And then somehow my mom was able to convince the ESL teacher to move schools and bring the other ESL kids from one school to the other. It's still mind blowing.
That's a powerful to think mom. About. Yeah. Man. That's a good mom. Did you have any other students that were from Egypt?
Hamza.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember Hamza. I don't think you know who that is. He came, but he had more understanding of English than me. He was well taught in Egypt, and that helped him a lot here. So he had a heads up from me.
Were you able to lean on him a little bit at all?
No, actually, he was doing, I don't know how, but he did worse here than he did in Egypt.
Gotcha. So what was the atmosphere of the ESL class that you had, the ESL classes that you had in the middle school? Because, Mrs. Greeley, one of the things that she said for her experience is that most of her students say that the ESL classroom is where her students felt safe and comfortable to be themselves, because even if they're all different cultures and different, different levels, at least they all understand that they're all kind of experiencing similar challenges. Is that something you agree with, or what was
definitely
your experience like?
How the class is set up? Definitely, because if you have, this is just my opinion, if you have too many kids that speak the same language, they're going to overpower the one kid that doesn't speak the one language. And I see it happen a lot. It happens way too frequent. Like in my school, there's like a lot of Hispanic kids, there's a lot of Russian kids. And if that mix is unbalanced, it could cause a lot of trouble. And it has in our school. So it's just definitely how the class is set up. Everyone has to be accepting. Most kids that come out of foreign countries have a mindset of only accepting what their parents think is right, and that implements on their life and their religion, and it goes a lot into it. Definitely did do some immature things, and I said immature things because of what my beliefs are. Mm-hmm. So it definitely has, like, the classroom has to be balanced and has to be well-mannered in a way, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, totally. No, I think that's really good insight. Four areas of language learning: reading, writing, listening, and speaking. Which was most challenging for you? Challenging writing?
I struggle with writing till this day.
How'd writing you improve?
Is a lot. I just grew up, really. It's just more of like growing up. It just helps you a lot more, I guess.
Okay.
It's like writing, reading. I would say reading is a big part of it. I really underestimated reading. I don't read as much as I should be right now. But I try my best to read as much. But it's just like reading has really made a significant difference for me, because as time went on, reading more has just helped me become more knowledgeable, and it just helped me like able to write better, because the words, I would see them more frequently, I would be able to write them more. And I feel like technology is kind of taken a little bit away from me from writing. But
you could kind of almost like start borrowing words, just like vocab acquisition. You see words a lot. You're like, what does that mean? Ooh, I like that. I'm going to steal that when I start writing. I mean, that's what any good writer does, I think.
Yeah, it just takes a lot of time, especially with a language that doesn't understand itself. Like, English is a very complicated language when it comes to writing and spelling. Like, when I first was...
it makes no sense. It makes absolutely no... Like, I grew up... I only speak English. It's the only language I learned. And it absolutely makes no sense at all. Yeah. What's a funny story about how English just didn't make sense spelling-wise?
I mean, like, in Arabic, you spell it is how you write it.
Okay.
You spell it how you write it. I'm pretty sure it's the same thing in Spanish.
Yeah.
So I come here and... there's like any word that you try to spell out, I would try to spell it out and it would be like completely wrong.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I was so stubborn that I just kept doing it for a long time, and I would just write it how I hear it. And I built a tolerance, but then it slowly has to change and you find new techniques. But it was just more of like, I hear it, I write it down, and that's how it is. And I definitely got a lot of, Like I still do it till this day, and I've gotten a lot of wrong mistakes on my homeworks because of it.
Like the word quiet, I'm just thinking of one random one. Like any Q-U makes no sense at all. Or I before E except after C.
Like
pizza even, I feel like doesn't make sense.
Like pizza, I mean pizza. It's like I-Z-Z. It's like, because I took a class. I had to take I went tutoring for English because I was just so bad at it. I just had to take like a class at it, and it just showed me more. It's like the vowels, like the E vowel, is what really tricked me up, because anything, if you have like, because you know this, it's like anything that comes after the E that is a vowel, you just say the letter.
Yeah.
So it's just A, like, right after. I didn't know that. So the way, if, like, it was, like, Q, it's, like, Q-E-U or something like that, I would just write Q-U. That would be just it.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So... I still say, like, English, so much of spelling in English makes no sense. Silent letters, you know, I before E except after C, unless it's the word weird. Nothing is consistent.
Yeah. I mean, when I was messaging you so I can get on the podcast, I mean, I felt like I was an illiterate because of how, like, professional you were. I was like, oh my God, I have to put commas now?
No. I was putting commas because I didn't want you to think less of me.
No, I was like, okay. I was like, we're going professional. I was like trying my best. I was like, should I put a comma here, a period there? I was really thinking before I sent it.
No, man. No. You did great. I wouldn't have noticed anything. That's amazing. So as we're kind of wrapping up and we're getting to the last couple of questions, I want to ask you, what was your experiences of learning English? How do you think that that's made you a stronger person?
So, I mean, I
see you as a very strong and resilient person.
Thank you. It's like, I really don't see it as like the English language. It's more of like the barriers that
culturally
that made me who I am.
Talk to me about those.
Like, because it's not really how the English has gotten me to where I am, but more of like the things I've had to go through to learn the language. For example, like the people you're gonna meet in high school are so much like they're rude. Like, at first when I got to the high school, I was super nice with everyone. I would watch out for people. I would do everything. But one important thing that I always like to tell everybody that comes to high school is whoever you're gonna be best friends in high school is not guaranteed to be best friends with you after high school. The language does have an impact because of how much I've come along since when I first started, but more of like the people you interact with. You always like, always keep your circle close. That's the best example I could give. Having it too big and involving too many necessary people is just, it'll just have people that are waiting to stab you, really.
And again, like, you have a good head on your shoulders. I think that you have a great perspective on all of this. And I see that as being one of the foundations to why you're going to be so successful. Seriously, like, you know, forget about the resiliency of obviously overcoming a language barrier, learning a language, learning new customs, cultures, and things like that. But, you know, you strike me as someone who is, you have your moral code, you have your system, you have the things that, and the people that you surround yourself with, and you are like, that's what matters to me. Like, you don't strike me as someone who gets kind of lost in fads or things just because like it's new or it's a new person or new whatever. Like, you definitely seem like you were very goal oriented.
I mean, it's just, like, there's only one goal I have in life. It's just,
what is it?
Getting rich. Just, that's it. I just want to get rich.
What's that going to change for you? What's that going to get you? And I don't mean that in a judgmental way.
No, you're good.
What is, like, you say, like, that's the goal is to have money and to be rich. And I know you said that Egypt is a poverty country, I think is how you described it. So, you know, I wonder if that plays a factor, but like, why is that the goal?
Yeah, so when I came here, of course, we didn't have the best living styles at first because we were just very limited. And we slowly worked our way up. And then my seventh grade year, we had an unfortunate event where my father passed away. And so that really, yeah, that's okay. It set us back a lot. So after that, we went through that, my sister was still in college, my brother was still in college, my mom didn't have her degree here, so she couldn't work anywhere, because she was a teacher back in Egypt, but she couldn't work here with that degree, they don't accept it here.
Okay.
So she had to go to school again for that, so COVID kind of played a good role for us when that happened, but, like, ever since that happened, we just been, like, barely surviving, really, I would say. So it's just more of like, I wanna live my life financially free and do whatever I want, because I'm working right now like two jobs and I hate it. I don't like it. It's just not something I want to do for the rest of my life, and I don't want my family to do that either for the rest of their life either.
Yeah,
I want to be able to do whatever I want whenever I want. That's just how I see it.
I love it, and not have money be a
struggle.
Yeah, a struggle, right? Yeah, of course. Well, that's a beautiful thing, man. What, final two thoughts. What, looking back at your time at Memorial, what was your favorite memory? Could be an assignment, an activity, a class, could be literally anything. Something that you think back on those 3 years and makes you smile.
Definitely my friendship with, Indri, because that I've really been reflecting on that a lot recently, and it's something that kind of unfortunately happened, but it's like something, my eighth grade year is something I really valued a lot, because me and him were always right next to each other because we shared a lot of classes in common. I had Mr. Nessus. Mr. Nessus was a really fun teacher. I have to say. And your class. This is a third thought, but your class was really amusing. I really liked your class. It was very unique to the different other classes I would go to, because like I didn't put periods in my sentence, and she would like put me zeros, and I would get mad. I'd be like, why? And then Indri would explain it to me, and he'd be like, you didn't put periods, and I was like, damn, bro. Oh,
you gotta end those sentences. Dude, you had a crazy like elementary and middle school experience. You're just getting tossed around like crazy.
Because seventh grade, they put me in normal classes. So sixth grade, I was in ESL. Seventh grade, they put me back in normal classes. Eighth grade year, they were thinking of putting me in special ed classes. Yes, but then they did the transformation with that with you and Mr. Nessus. I thank God they did me with Mr. Nessus, because Mr. Nessus has taught me a lot in your class.
But no, Mr. Nessus is an amazing teacher and a great person,
too. I hope he's doing well right now.
So definitely going to be a lot of ESL, current ESL students that are going to be listening to this. What words of encouragement do you have for students that are in the midst of or that are beginning their journey of learning this very confusing language that we call English?
Are they in 8th grade?
8th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade. They're in middle school. What would be your advice or words of encouragement?
Definitely try to get a job as early as you can, make money so you get to spend on whatever you want, because having to depend on your parents is not fun. Second, try to read and knowledge yourself as much as you can, because not only is it beneficial for you now and later on in life, it is just so much to keep, it helps so much in day-to-day daily tasks that you wouldn't be able to comprehend, from memory expansion to just the stuff you read. That, like, it depends of course on the stuff you read, but reading, like, it makes you so creative. It's really interesting that when I looked at it, because I hear people that tell me, oh, you should read, and they tell me all these like facts about reading and how it keeps you going every day. Like, I started reading, and like at first I hated it, but you get to enjoy it, and then you do it. And if you can just replace reading before you sleep an hour, you're setting up yourself for great success for the rest of your life after that.
The more you do it, the better you get at it. Yeah. I think the better you get at it, the more you enjoy it.
Yeah, it definitely is. And high school is not going to be fun for anyone. I'm just going to say that.
why do you say that?
High school, being there every day for 8 hours a day is not fun. It's not fun. It gets tedious. It gets annoying when you have to deal with people that are just so, like, in high school, there's going to be people, like, last year I had to sit with some kids I didn't like, and I had to put on a mask for the whole year because I didn't want to show.
Okay.
I didn't want to be mean to them and have, like, a bad side with them. And there was teachers that were giving me problems, and I just had to deal with it. So it's just, overall, high school is going to be a mix. And, oh, this is a good one. Save cooking, drama class, any classes that don't require much work for your senior year, and definitely get study hall. Definitely get study hall so you can leave an hour early.
So you can read. I love it. Future
English
teacher.
Or in that hour, you can go on a podcast with Mr. Acorn.
Look at this. What a great way to wrap this all up.
The last year of high school.
Abdallah, this has been such a pleasure getting to reconnect. And selfishly, it's just awesome just to hear how great you're doing, how amazing life is treating you overall, and how much you are working to achieve your goals, man. I am so proud of you. I know Mr. Nessus is really proud of you. It's really awesome to get to talk to you and to see you. And thanks for being on the podcast, dude.
Thank you for inviting me on it. I'm really happy you invited me on this, because I really wanted to see how you were doing, because you and Miss Freeman were actually the only teachers I saw that were really good to like that would make a difference in that school.
Until next time, stay safe, stay hungry. See you.